But the Lord, I believe, has something for us tonight, and I pray that he would help me to deliver what I feel from him. James chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And then he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us on this subject, in search of wisdom. In search of wisdom. How many of you want to have wisdom from the Lord? Amen. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the moving of your spirit. We pray that you'd have your way in our hearts. And in this service tonight, I pray that you'd speak to us, Lord. Help us to find that wisdom that we are searching for, that we desperately need. I pray, God, that you would speak to lives tonight. I pray that you would open doors, God. Help us to see what you want us to see in your word. Reveal it to us, I pray. We give you all the thanks, Lord, all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So good to see everybody here tonight. I am convinced that there is more knowledge in the world than ever, but less wisdom. Yes, knowledge has been increasing. Education has been increasing. Technology has just compounded so much so that computers and smartphones from just a few years ago are now obsolete. But when it comes to true wisdom, godly wisdom that is, well, most people, they would rather just do whatever their heart tells them and whatever their emotions lead them to do, and just to make a judgment from earthly knowledge, rather than take a step back and say, let's consider this with wisdom. Wisdom is not how many classes we've taken in school. Wisdom is not how many books we've read. Wisdom is how wisely we can reason. Wisdom is not what we know. It's how well we use what we know. And the wisdom that James recommends, it's not just wisdom of earthly knowledge, but it is true godly wisdom that produces character that's like Jesus Christ. That wisdom is diametrically opposed to earthly wisdom. And earthly wisdom can produce practical results in life, but those results are very different than this wisdom that is from above. Amen. James in chapter 3, verse 13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. He says a wise man will be revealed not by just claiming wisdom. A lot of people want to just claim that they're wise, but no, that's not how you reveal wisdom. It's through our actions. There's a lot of people out there, they like to toot their own horn and talk about how wise they might be, but just because someone says they're wise doesn't mean they're wise. James says we detect people who have wisdom by their behavior with meekness of wisdom. Those who are wise, they're not arrogant. They don't possess a know-it-all attitude, but instead they have a teachable spirit. And one way to recognize those who possess true wisdom, they'll have humility. James goes on in verse 14, he says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Apparently, James was writing to some Christians who had fallen prey to bitter envy and a self-seeking spirit. And so they were in denial about their spiritual condition. But he says, lie not against the truth. Lie not against the truth. People like this, they're proud of their critical, fault-finding spirits, deceived into thinking that their ugly spirit is an expression of wisdom. Help us, Lord. It's not uncommon for bitter people and critical people to think that they're actually doing God's work in finding fault in others. Isn't that a shame? And they think it's just their God-given destiny to go pick everybody apart and find everything that's wrong with everybody else. Of course, they're perfect and there's no issues there. I remember years ago when we were serving as youth president in the Texas district, one of our children, I'm not going to say which one, but one of our children and their group of friends find themselves, or I guess appointed themselves, to be the PDA patrol at youth camp. The PDA patrol. And so they would go around looking. It was junior high, you know, so it wasn't really all that much, but they were really looking, trying to find PDA. And once they found somebody that they thought was exhibiting too much public displays of affection, boy, they would, oh, I don't know what they did with it. I remember one girl, I don't know what her and her boyfriend were doing, if they were, I don't know, holding pinkies or I don't know what they were doing, but they told them they were going to tell on them, and that girl comes crying into the camp office, and we didn't even know what was going on, and she's spilling all of her, you know, whatever it was, that, and we're like, don't, it's fine, just go ahead and go on. But it was the PDA patrol posse, and going around, you know, boy, they had an eye out. Sometimes there's this posse in the church, even people that think, well, it's my God-given job to go pick everybody apart. Matthew 7:1 tells us, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. God didn't call us to have bitter envy and strife in our hearts, going around trying to point out everybody's faults and failures. There is a principle of restoration in the Bible. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Isn't that something? Too many people, when they see the faults in others, they sit in a place of judgment. They're not interested in seeing the faults of others because they're wanting to restore them. They're interested in condemnation. And so we've got to be careful lest we would be tempted as well. God has called us to wisdom, not to be led of our flesh, not to rely on education or book knowledge or experience, not those things alone, but we need wisdom that is from above. Amen. Can we join together tonight and say, Lord, we're searching for wisdom. We need godly wisdom. We need heavenly wisdom. We need that wisdom that is from above, because we can't make it on our own wisdom. Job 28:12 reads, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? This chapter goes on to say that man does not know the price of wisdom. It's not to be found in the land of the living. The depth says it's not in me. The sea says it's not within me. We can't get wisdom, it says, from gold or silver or onyx or sapphire or other fine jewels. Wisdom is not to be found in coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Wisdom's not just laying around somewhere waiting for us to pick it up. God doesn't cast pearls before swine. Someone once said, the greatest of blessings are not stumbled upon unawares. The greatest of blessings are not stumbled upon unawares. Wisdom must be sought for. We must seek wisdom. It can't be purchased. Money can go out and buy precious stones. Money can pay to go to college. But wisdom, true wisdom, cannot be bought. Amen. After going through all the places here in Job 28 that says where we can't find wisdom, the last verse, verse 28, says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord. Psalms 111 and 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So wisdom is precious. It's very precious. It must come from God. We don't get it unless we walk in the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, for a revival of the old-fashioned fear of the Lord. That old-fashioned fear of God in our lives. Not where we're just so scared that God is going to destroy us and he's going to take us out. That's not what I'm talking about. But that we would have a holy reverence of the presence and the Spirit of God for the things of God, for the church of God, for the people of God, for men and women of God, so that we would walk circumspectly. Not like fools, but as wise men and as wise women. We need a fear of the Lord. We need a fear of the Lord. I believe that's really what's wrong with a lot of our world today is there's no fear of the Lord. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of being displeasing to the Lord. Let's look again tonight at the verses of our text in the first chapter of James, and let's see what he says about godly wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How crazy it is in this passage. James says, count it all joy when troubles come your way. Count it all joy when we face trials of many kinds, knowing that the trying of our faith, it is working patience. Amen. When our faith is tested, it produces patience in our lives. Has anybody been producing some patience? When our faith is tested, it produces patience. In this letter by James, there's no mention to the Gentile church, and so most likely he's writing to those who are Jewish Christians. And if anybody ever understood trials and temptations, it was James' audience here. He said they're scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad and persecuted like no other people on earth. But he tells them, count it all joy. Count it all joy. I tell you, it's easy when troubles come our way to get fed up. It's easy to quit. It's easy to lose our temper. It's easy to get tired of waiting and just rush ahead of God. But James says, let patience have her perfect work so that we can be perfected. Trials produce results. Trials produce results. Maybe we weren't looking for that kind of results, but it's those type of results that God apparently knew we needed, or he would have never let us be in that situation or never let those things come in our life. In the Old Testament, the Jews, they thought trials meant that there was sin in your life. They thought trials indicated sin. Look at Job. His friends could not imagine why he was going through what he was experiencing. Why was he under such testing and trials unless there was sin? But Job was to discover that there was no simple explanation for what he was going through. In fact, I don't think God ever gave Job an explanation. We know, but I don't know that God ever spoke to Job and said, here's what I'm doing, and here's what's happening, and here's why you're going through this. I don't know that Job ever got the explanation in this world that he really wanted to have, why he's experiencing such suffering. How many times do we want an explanation from God? God, I want to understand, why am I going through this? Why have you let this happen to me? Why, God? But even without that explanation, Job had the right response. It was a response of faith. And it brought about great results. Trials produce results. If we respond by faith, there are great results. If we don't, sometimes God lets us try to pass the test again. I want to go ahead and pass the test. Amen. Let's move on to the next level. So God helps us have patience in the trial so that we can pass the test. And there can be no patience without wisdom. Have you ever heard somebody say, don't pray for patience? Don't pray for patience because you don't know what you'll have to go through. I kind of agree. I think it's much better to pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. That wisdom that produces patience. Godly wisdom gives us the perspective we need to be able to endure every type of situation with patience. And when we have godly wisdom, we are able to see more than just our immediate situation. When we have godly wisdom, we're able to see beyond just our immediate circumstances. Someone shared a meme recently with me that I think illustrates this point perfectly, and I wonder if they could show that here. I hope that you can see it well enough to see the expression on that dog's face, but here it says, patience and wisdom, two of the greatest qualities to have in life. And somewhere along the way, that dog learned patience and wisdom. He's not wanting to have, you can just see it in his face, he's not wanting to have patience right now. but somewhere he learned some wisdom, maybe the hard way. And he's just waiting. Amen. So James says, if any of you lack wisdom, whatever we're dealing with, we need God to give us wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Don't pray for patience, but pray for wisdom that produces patience. Amen. Godly wisdom gives us the perspective that we need to see beyond our circumstances. Amen. If we wish to have this kind of wisdom, we need to pray for it. God, we need it. We need it. Amen. We can have this kind of wisdom through prayer. If we ask him for it, we have a promise that he will give it to us. And not just a little bit, but it says he will give it liberally. And then the Bible says that God upbraideth not. That means he gives it without reproach. He's not going to rebuke us for asking for wisdom. Amen. What excuse do we have for not asking God for wisdom in every situation that we find ourselves in? If we ask him, he's going to give it. We don't have to be ashamed because he wants to give it to us. Think with me of the confusion that must have surrounded many of those new Christians in the New Testament. You see, they believed fully that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. They were willing to give their lives for that. But they had expected, they had figured it out themselves that when Messiah came, He was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. He was going to overthrow this foreign oppression. And so now, instead of deliverance, they find themselves going through even greater persecution. Not only from Rome now, but now they have the Jews as well, because they're not just Jews, but they're Jewish Christians now. And so they've got persecution from Rome, they've got persecution from the Jews, and here the Messiah was supposed to come and take care of all of that. Count it all joy. It's one thing to rejoice blindly when temptation comes our way, but it's another thing to understand the bigger picture. And only wisdom from God can help us do this. If we can have wisdom to see beyond just our circumstance, then patience is going to result from the trial of our faith. No doubt I'm preaching to some tonight that you're going through some trials, and I challenge you to take the Word of God, what it says in this prayer. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to reveal things to you. Pray that God would give wisdom for that situation, whatever it might be. God gives wisdom for us to see the bigger picture. Amen. He gives wisdom to see past our circumstance. He gives wisdom so that that trial of faith can produce patience in our life. And we have a promise. If we ask for it, He will give it. So take Him at His word. God responds to faith. Did you know that? He responds to faith. Going on in James chapter 1, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Those who waver between belief and unbelief, they're unstable. They're unpredictable. They're like a wave crashing in the ocean. Faith is, it's more than just positive thinking. Faith is more than just having a great mental image of something. Faith doesn't deny reality. Faith understands, okay, here's my situation. But faith trusts in God in whatever they're going through. I pray today that our faith is, it's not in man. It's not in our ability to fix things ourselves. It's not in our bank account or anything of this life. I pray that our faith is in God. All of those other things are going to fail, but if we have true faith that trusts in God. James wrote about Job in James 5:11. He said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And so James puts up Job as an example of faith. Job had wisdom. He had patience to trust in God. And faith, it declares, just like Job declared, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." That's faith. That's faith. Tonight, I believe that if we could get this in our hearts, it's going to transform a lot of things. Sometimes wisdom takes us being willing to accept an answer from God that's something other than yes or no. You know, we want to go to the Lord and pray, and we want a definite yes or no. I was talking to Brother Pruitt the other day about the ephod and things they had in the Old Testament, and they would, I know one place, you know, David, he needed to know what to do, and so he called for the priest, and so they came, they bring the, and God gave them a definite answer of what they were to do. Wouldn't that be nice to have that sometimes? Amen. But sometimes God doesn't give a yes or no answer. Sometimes His answer might be silence. In Job's life, it was silence for a long, painful period. Sometimes when God answers, it's not the answer we were looking for. If we're going to ask for wisdom, if we're going to ask in faith, then we have to believe that we need God more than we need the answers. Sometimes we got to realize I need God more than I need an answer in my life. And when we reach that place where we know that, God, I've got to have you, I may not get the answer, but I've still got to have you, then there is a confidence in the faithfulness of God to take care of his children. I want to tell you, sometimes we're praying for the answers, but God's saying, I just want you to be wanting me. You want the answer, but I just want you to want me, because it doesn't matter what the answer is. If you have me, you're going to make it through. Amen. If we have God, you can make it through anything. He's going to be faithful. He is going to be steady. He is going to be true. The answers, who knows all the time what the answers are, but if I have God, I can make it no matter what the answer is. Praise the Lord. Maybe we've been asking God for all the answers. Why God this and why God that? But maybe the answer is God saying, I want you to need me and want me more than you want an answer today. And when we have that kind of faith, we have confidence that God's going to take us through. Maybe we'll understand later on. Maybe down the road we'll see some things that'll be revealed to us. Or maybe it won't in this life. But that's okay, because we have something that's better than the answer. He is the answer. Amen. He is the one that's greater than the test. He is the one that he will keep us no matter what we face. Amen. He will take us through the trial of our faith. Sometimes you may pray and not get the answer you're looking for, but if you can pray and get Jesus, then you can make it no matter what comes your way. Praise the Lord. We've got to be in search of wisdom. God, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Not education and book smarts, but God, give us heavenly wisdom. Praise the Lord. Let's look tonight at one who asked God for this very thing. God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon replied in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. God doesn't grant wishes, but God does answer prayer. He answers prayer. Amen. Sometimes you may pray and you may not see a dazzling light from heaven. You may not see writing with a finger on the wall, but I want to tell you, God does answer our prayers, and we can meet with this God in prayer, the one true God, and you can present this desire. Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom in my situation. I need wisdom on the job. I need wisdom in my family. And God says that he will grant that prayer. Solomon asked for one thing. He asked for an understanding heart, wisdom. That was his first and his only request. And we're told, if any man like wisdom, let him ask of God. And God not only gave Solomon what he asked for, he gave him riches and honor as well. In the very next verse, after Solomon awakes from this dream and he returns to Jerusalem, we find that two women come to him, and they both had a baby. And one woman, she smothered her baby while they were sleeping. And she took the dead baby and traded it with the other woman's baby. And in the morning, she acted like it was hers. Of course, a mama knows. And there was an argument. And so here they come to the king. And Solomon has no clue. He doesn't, know these women and know the situation there. But read with me in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 23. Then said the king, the one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Look at the spirit of each of these women. The first woman, she was selfish. She was jealous. Well, if I can't have it, you can't have it either. She would rather see the innocent destroyed than to yield her hard spirit. Only God knows how many innocent souls are lost today because someone had a selfish and contentious spirit. They didn't care about the baby. They only cared about themselves. And it was better to them that that baby be destroyed than someone else have something that they didn't have. Second woman, however, she had a different spirit. And she loved with a true love that cried out. And she said, Go ahead, you give her the child. You give her the baby. She knew it was her. She knew what the truth was. But go ahead and give the baby to her. Don't you dare kill it. Don't you dare harm it. It would be better for someone else to have it than for that baby to be hurt. She was willing to see her baby in the hands of someone else than to not see it at all. Wisdom revealed their true heart. Wisdom revealed their spirit. One was selfish, not caring for the child, just trying to win the standoff. But the other said, that life of that baby is more important than me. And reading on in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 27, then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She's the mother thereof. She's the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. He asked for wisdom, and God gave it. I want to tell you, no matter our situation, no matter what trial and circumstance, no matter the testing that's in your life, as overwhelmed as we might be sometimes, if we will pray that God gives us an understanding heart, ask God for wisdom, it is a promise from God that He will give it. Hallelujah. Oh, we need wisdom from God. We need wisdom from God. Amen. Not just education, not just common sense, but God, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to see beyond our circumstance. Give us wisdom to know the hearts and the minds of people. Give us wisdom, Lord, so that we're led of the Spirit and not just led by our own flesh. But God, help us to have godly, heavenly, spiritual wisdom. Sometimes we have to deal with difficult people. Sometimes we are faced with difficult situations. Sometimes there's things that will even make us question ourselves, and we wonder what is right and what's wrong and where is the right path through this. Sometimes we have to deal with people that aren't Christians, or even people that say they're Christian, but... There are even people who are manipulative, and they try to twist things around to where we're just confused about what's right and what's wrong. And we thought we were doing the right thing, but then the enemy comes along and just beats us up over it. And apparently James was writing to some people in the church who had been through this very situation. And so let's let the wisdom of James help us here tonight. If we're ever faced with a difficult situation, when we're dealing with difficult people and the enemy's doing his best to present confusion, and how do we know? How do we know what's right? Well, first of all, God's not the author of confusion. If we're ever in a situation like this and in the confusion, we need to know where we're at. We need to get our compass out. What's the compass in our life? It's the Word of God. Let's go back to James chapter 3 in verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. What wisdom is that? It's the envying and bitter strife, self-seeking, fault-finding, accusing and critical attitudes. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The next time we're faced with a situation that it wants us to cause us to question everything, we need to just take a step back and consider things with wisdom from the Word of God here. This wisdom is not from above. If it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish, if there's envying and strife, if there's confusion and every evil work, that's why things that are started in envy and strife and bitterness, they never turn out good, because there's confusion in it. Of course, God's not the author of it. There's confusion in every evil work. It's earthly. You see, God created the earth, but sin marred the earth. Sin corrupted the earth. Sin transformed the earth. And the same thing with wisdom. God is the source of wisdom, but when sin gets involved, wisdom becomes flawed. And it's earthly. It's sensual. This word sensual, it has to do with the realm of the senses. It relies on the human senses instead of the leading of the Spirit of God. And it's walking by sight instead of by faith. It's being led by feelings instead of by the Holy Ghost. It's acting out of emotion instead of being directed by wisdom. Earthly wisdom is actually demonic. What's the greatest commandment? To love God. What's the second? Love others. For Satan and his demons, the highest value they have is to love and promote oneself. And that's completely opposed to genuine wisdom. James says it's always with meekness. The word strife, it could be interpreted as self-seeking. This type of wisdom, it produces envy and strife. It's not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual and devilish. The greatest goal of a true Christian is to build up others. Earthly wisdom just wants to produce confusion. Godly wisdom produces harmony. If there's a spirit of division, it's evidence of carnality because people are just trying to work it out for themselves. What's best for me? What's in it for me? Seeking their own welfare. The greatest thing that any kind of group going through division and confusion can be is they need to get to the altar and pray. Because the Holy Ghost will drive out carnality. The Holy Ghost, it'll drive out this self-seeking spirit. Amen. And there will be harmony in the pursuit of Jesus Christ instead of ourselves. Heavenly wisdom is not polluted like earthly wisdom. Wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's pure because it has the best for others in mind. It's a pure heart. It's peaceable. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Gentleness, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's drastically different from the harshness and the hardness that comes from envy and selfishness. Easy to be entreated. Another translation says, willing to yield. It's willing to yield. Earthly wisdom is unbending. It's stubborn. It's forcing its own way. But heavenly wisdom, it makes us look and look out for others and look for ways to accommodate others. Earthly wisdom is unmerciful. But heavenly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality, no respect of persons. That's heavenly wisdom. Without hypocrisy, if someone has heavenly wisdom, then they don't have to tell you. It'll be evident. James said to count it all joy when we go through trials, because it's perfecting our faith if we have wisdom. 1 Peter, he wrote, he said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, and in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you tonight, there is something more precious than gold. It is of greater value than all of the priceless gems. It cannot be bought with money, but it can be found from heaven. We can seek that wisdom and we can find it. It is that wisdom that is from above. When we have that kind of wisdom, we can see the big picture. When we have that kind of wisdom, we can rejoice even in the midst of a trial, because that trial of our faith, it is more precious than gold. Praise the Lord. We've got to be searching for wisdom. God, give us wisdom. Praise the Lord. God, give us wisdom. How many of you be willing to say, Lord, I need wisdom from you. I need wisdom that's from above. I need wisdom that's pure. I need wisdom that's peaceable. I need wisdom that's easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. God, I need wisdom in this situation I'm going through. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me here tonight? When we are going through things, we usually have two questions. First of all, what did I do to deserve this? Why me? Why? What did I do to deserve this? And we may not be able to come up with anything. Sometimes we know what we did to get in the doghouse. Other times we don't know. The second question is, God, why did you allow this? And oftentimes he seems to be silent about that. The truth is, we just want out of it. And as quickly as possible. God, get me out of this. I'm tired of the testing. I'm tired of the trial. I'm tired of all this. And God's a good God. He should want to get us out of this right away. But more important than God delivering us immediately is us being able to believe that God loves us, and that regardless of our current situation, God's up to something good. Hallelujah. Could it be today that God wants us to want him more than we want the answers? Trials help us measure our spiritual growth. There may be things that we're going through today that 5 years ago we could have never handled, but we've grown, and God's brought us a long way. He knows exactly what we can handle. And he'll never allow more to be put on us than we can bear. I want to tell you tonight, the goal of God is never to defeat us. It is never to defeat us. But it's always to develop us to be more like him. Let's not waste the sorrow. Let's not waste the suffering. Let's not waste the pain. Let's not waste the disappointment and heartache. But tell him, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't like it. It hurts. But God, I trust you with my life. And if you'll help me, God, I'll persevere. I'll keep walking by faith. I'll keep trusting you as you give me wisdom. Wisdom to trust you that you're going to take me through this to the end. Praise the Lord. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. I wonder tonight if, I don't know every situation. I know some needs that are here tonight. I know some of you are going through a trial. And you're going through a testing. And I believe tonight that sometimes we ask those questions. Why me, God? Why am I going through this? Or God, why are you allowing this? And sometimes we don't always have the answers here in the right now. But I tell you what an answer would be for every situation is, God, I need you to give me wisdom through this. Give me wisdom through this. Help me to know what to say. Help me to know what not to say. Help me, God, to know what to do. Help me to know what not to do. God, lead me and direct me and give us wisdom. Praise the Lord. I wonder if we could gather around this altar tonight as they begin to play and sing. And I wonder if we could just come together as one and say, Lord, I need wisdom tonight. I need wisdom from above. I don't want wisdom that's earthly. I don't want wisdom that's sensual. I don't want wisdom that's going to create strife and confusion. But God, I need heavenly wisdom. I need wisdom that's from above, God. I need that wisdom that's pure, that's peaceable. Oh, God, I pray that you would speak to hearts here tonight in the midst of every situation, in the midst of every trial, of every testing that's coming along their life. I pray, God, that through that you could give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Lord, we lack wisdom tonight, and we ask that you would give it to us, Lord. We stand upon your word, Lord, that says if we would ask, Lord, that you would give it liberally and upbraideth not. Lord, we trust you for wisdom here tonight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would open our minds, our understanding, Lord. Give us a heart of understanding. Give us a mind of understanding, Lord. I pray that you would let your wisdom be poured out in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I trust you through this trial. I trust you through this testing. I trust you through this circumstance, Lord. Even though it hurts, even though there's pain, God, I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to follow you, Lord, because I know that you're going to bring me through in the end. I trust you, Jesus. Lord, we need wisdom tonight. We need wisdom tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would grant wisdom. I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. I pray that you would move upon our hearts, touch our minds, touch our spirits. Hallelujah.
I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you, Lord, more than ever before. I need